Hey, New Life, welcome back. So glad to see each and every one of you. Hey, if you're watching together right now online, why don't you just drop a hello in the chat? Let us know that you're watching. We would love to see that you're hanging with us today online. So we welcome each and every one of you. Last week, as we continued our series Supreme, we talked about being alive in Christ. And we talked a little bit about baptism last Sunday. And I just want to make you aware that our Summer Baptism Sunday is coming up August 22nd. And so if you've never taken that next step in your faith, to go in public and being baptized in water, it's a powerful moment. And I hope that you would take that step this summer with us, August 22nd. You'll hear more about it in the coming weeks. And so we're going to continue today in our series Supreme, which is a series on the book of Colossians. It has been the book study we've done throughout the summer. Today is actually going to be part 7 of our study on the book of Colossians. We're going to finish this up next week, part 8. But today, we're going to continue in chapter 3 of Colossians. And today, we're really going to be talking about a Christ-centered home. And really, when I say we're going to be talking about it, we're just going to be looking at what Paul wrote about it in this letter to the Colossians. And last week where we were, Paul had just finished writing in his letter about this concept of being made alive in Christ. And so now that we have this idea, this truth that we have been made alive in Christ, we've put to death the old self, we've put to death the vices of the old life. Now Paul brings it home, quite literally. He brings it home with now some instruction for the Christian household. Because you've been made alive in Christ, because you've put some things to death in your life, and you're now alive in Him, things should look differently. And I love how Paul starts in the home, because in the home is where I believe it makes the biggest difference. And I think it is something that's plagued the Christian church for years and years, is when we have taught followers of Jesus how to live like a Christian in a church service, but we've never gone and taken it with great seriousness to apply it first in our homes. We know how to even fake it in public. We can fake it at work, but when we get home, we put our guards down and we forget to be alive in Christ at home. But at home is the very first place. Now Paul begins, after he just got done talking about dying to the old self and being made alive in Christ. And so the first thing he's going to start with in having this Christ-centered home is he starts with a Christ-centered marriage. He starts with marriage. In order to have a Christ-centered home, it starts with having a Christ-centered marriage. And I can tell you that when Jenny and I, when our marriage is stronger, we are more connected, we are more united, we're better parents, we make better decisions, and we are better at what we're called to do. And so maybe for you, if you right now are struggling with marriage, then you know that how this tension of marriage struggles plays out in all the other areas of your life. It makes parenting harder because sometimes you and your spouse aren't on the right page. It makes work harder because you already have this tension from home. So we're talking about this Christ-centered home, but Paul's going to start with Christ-centered marriage. Let's look at it now in Colossians chapter 3. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Do not be harsh with them. And so this is a very common writing of Paul, because Paul's actually written these words very similarly to these to other groups of followers of Jesus. He wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. There's a group of people that accepted the message of Jesus in Ephesus. He wrote them a letter, and it's included in the New Testament. It's called the Book of Ephesians. Let's look at it in chapter 5. He says this, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. But then also he says this to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so when we first read it in Colossians, you know, talked about wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But I love how in Ephesians, when Paul writes it, he starts off by first saying, submit yourselves to one another. So husbands submitting yourselves to your wives, and wives submitting yourselves to your husbands. Then he continues, so wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Which sounds, I know, like in this day and age, that sounds like bondage. That sounds like lording it over. But that's not what he's talking about, because he says, and husbands, don't be harsh with her. Don't be harsh with her. But then what the assignment he gives to the husband is much weightier than that of the wife, because he assigns the responsibility to the husband to love his wife, how? As Christ loved the church, because Christ was willing to give up his life for the church. And so husbands, if we would be the kind of husbands that would love our wives with the willingness to lay down ourselves, it means to lay down our selfishness in order to love our wives, then we will have wives that, it's not about submission, it's really about the idea of respect. And we would have wives that respect us. And so he continues, let's look here. It says, however, each one of you also must love his wife. Again, husbands, we are called to love our wives. How? Like Christ loved the church and he was willing to give up his life for it. So we all must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must, here it is, respect her husband. And this is what it all really comes down to, is that husbands want to be respected, which is probably why God's call for the wife is to respect her husband. But wives want to be desired and loved by their husbands, which is why God's call for husbands is to love their wives like Jesus loved the church. There's a really, really great book written by Dr. Emerson called Love and Respect. And I would really encourage you married people to get a copy of this book. And I want to share some thoughts from his book today. But first, I thought I saw another pastor post something on Facebook recently, and I had to save it because it was so funny. I'm going to read a couple of them to you today. But basically, it's things husbands wish their wives understood about them. And my wife's not here today to share her side of the story, but this is mine. I'll give you a couple of these. This one's funny. And again, this is just to be funny, and it might be maybe a little bit true. Okay. So first is this is what we want our wives to understand. We don't know how we feel about things. We only know how we think about things. When you ask us how we feel, our processor gets stuck, and then we have to shut down the system and reboot it so that we can ever speak again. And that's what the empty stares mean. Okay? Our brains are more like Twitter than they are like Facebook. We can only process any more than 144 characters at a time, so just abbreviate the details and get to the point. That's funny right there. I don't care who you are. We were put on the planet to fix things. All right, girls? We're put on the planet to fix things. In fact, Jesus was a carpenter before he was a savior. So sharing a problem with us that you don't want us to solve, it feels to us like going to the restaurant and just staring at the silverware. So that's my two cents, and it's just meant to be funny, so forgive me. So let me share a couple thoughts for you in this idea that men's desire is to be respected and a wife's desire is to be loved. But look at this. These are thoughts from Love and Respect. Without love from him, she reacts without respect. But without respect for her, he reacts without love. And so you see how a marriage can get stuck in a cycle, in a pattern, where there's a lack of respect and a lack of love, and it creates this tension. And it creates this cycle that without love, she can't respect him. Without respect, he can't love her. So now what? Well, let's look at it another way. Wives are made to love. They want to be loved, and they expect to be loved. That's just how they are wired to be. But then we look at the husbands. Husbands are made to be respected. They want respect, and they expect respect. Let's look at it another way. When a husband feels disrespected, it is especially hard for him to love his wife. Yet, when a wife feels unloved, it is especially hard to respect her husband. You see how a marriage can get stuck in a cycle of chaos, insanity, when neither partner can respond correctly because there's also a void in what they need in the relationship. Because really, no husband feels affection toward a wife who appears to have contempt for who he is as a human being. The key to creating fond feelings of love in a husband toward his wife is showing him unconditional respect. And no wife feels respect for a husband who doesn't make her feel like she's a priority because he's always pursuing other things before her. So watch this. Often, we focus on our own needs and simply overlook the needs of the other person. So when a couple gets stuck in this cycle of chaos, it's so easy to fall into a pattern where I just see that you aren't respecting me and you just see that I'm not loving you. But what I can't see is I'm not filling the love tank, and what you can't see is you're not respecting me. And so then the chaos just continues and continues. It's so easy to see what's being done to you before you can see what you're doing to somebody else. And this applies so much in a marriage relationship. It is so easy to see what you're doing to me than for me to see what I'm doing to you. And so if you're listening to this today and you're a married person, I don't want you to listen to these things that we just talked about and listening to them for your spouse. Listen for you. So wives, you need to be listening and becoming more aware of how you can bring more respect to the relationship towards your husband. But husbands, you need to be listening today about how can you really love your wives well. Love her. The deepest part of her, understanding how she really feels and pursuing her interest and showing her the kind of love that Christ would show the church. And don't be harsh with her. So here are some tips. Women often confront men. So a wife would confront a husband in order to try to connect. The typical response from the husband, however, is that he thinks his wife is confronting him to control him. And right or wrong, men interpret really the world through the lens of respect. And a wife's softened tone and facial expressions will make a world of a difference in her marriage more than she could ever imagine. So wives, that's my tip. Your tone and your facial expressions can make more of a difference in your marriage than you are even aware of. But men, The truth is, men, it's easier for you to die in honor at war than it is for you to move toward a contemptuous wife in a loving way and say, I believe I was wrong. And can we talk about this? And turn to your wife in the middle of a conflict and say, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? Many men would rather die in honor than to humbly admit they're wrong. And let me tell you, it takes more guts to admit when you're wrong and to ask for forgiveness than it does to die in honor. So men, make a habit and be bold and brave enough to talk about how you feel and say you're sorry. And wives, when your husband asks for forgiveness, do you know what you say? You say, okay, I forgive you. So if we want to have a Christ-centered home, Paul starts, man, he hits it right off the bat. He talks about a Christ-centered marriage. And the next thing he's going to talk about is now Christ-centered children. And we all would love to see our kids really trust and obey the Lord and follow him all the days of their lives. That is my dream, to see my kids flourish in their faith long into their future. So let's see what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. He says it like this, children, obey your parents in everything. So if you're at home listening to this, you can go ahead and bring your kids in. I'll say it again. Bring your kids in, let them hear it. I want my kids to hear it. Obey your parents in everything. For this pleases who? It pleases the Lord. Again, Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's almost like, you know, when we do things for adults, we kind of expect you to do it. But when we ask kids to do it, we tell them they'll get a treat afterwards, right? But in all the commandments, in the Ten Commandments, there's only one that comes with a promise, kids. And it's God's commandment to you to honor your father and mother. It comes with a promise, and because this is what it says, honor your father and mother, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. Because I guarantee you this, kids, if you don't honor your father and mother, it's not going to go well with you. Amen? Come on, parents, help me out. And so it will go well with you. It comes with the promise. So kids, honor your mother and your father. And in our house, we say it like this. We say okay, and obey. Okay is what you say, and obey is what you do. Because sometimes it's easy to say, yeah, okay, but not obey. No. It's okay and obey. It's what I say, it's what I do. And blessing always follows obedience. So now, parents, just because the scripture tells your children to obey you in everything, well, you're next. Because Paul, now he shifts and he says, okay, let's talk about Christ-centered parenting. And so Christ-centered parenting. So you're married, you have kids, you got to know what to do with them. And he doesn't elaborate too much, but let's look what he says. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. The child's call by God is to obey his or her parents in everything. This does not give the parents the right to abuse them. This does not give the parents the right to be harsh with them. Because being harsh with them embitters our children, it frustrates our children, and ultimately it leads them to feeling great discouragement. And many times children will carry the discouragement from their adolescence all the way into their adulthood. So parents, can we just commit now to just repent from all of the mistakes we've made and the mistakes we'll make in the future, but commit to learning to guide and lead our children in the way that we would expect God to guide and lead us? And that's the call on us as parents. Parenting is such an incredible gift and challenge. And what I know, what I've learned about parenting, and my oldest two are about to turn 13, is that my kids, they'll never ever do what I say, but they always do what I do. And in some ways, it has made me proud to see them do as I've done. But in so many ways, it has saddened me to see them repeat the mistakes I've made. And so parents, that's my encouragement to you, is that we are always, always, always being surveilled by our own children. They're watching you, and they will do as you do, even though they may not say what you say, do what you say. Paul writes about you children in Ephesians. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Because to exasperate your children, to lead them in the where they become frustrated, this is more of like a quick fix parenting. Be quiet. Speak when you've been spoken to. Did you do it or did you not do it? Well, then do it. Be better. Be quieter, right? Quick fix parenting, on the spot, a harshness, just stop annoying me type. But then it takes more intentionality to lead and train and instruct children in the Lord. Quick fix parenting always leads to frustration, but when you can be intentional about your parenting, it always leads to greater maturity. And that's what we all want in our kids, is to see them grow up and to see them mature. And when we take the time to be intentional with them, they will learn to obey and follow in obedience. But this is the thought I want to leave with you parents today, is that your parenting should deserve obedience rather than demand it. And that's the point I believe Paul is making. He's saying, don't be harsh. Don't embitter your children so that they feel discouraged. No, be intentional. Train them. Teach them in the ways of the Lord. And if you're struggling with kids obeying, I want you to remember this truth, that your parenting should deserve obedience. Your parenting shouldn't demand it. You know why my heart is to obey God? Not because I'm scared of God, not because God just demands it of me and lords his law and his commandments over me. I obey the Lord because he deserves to be followed and obeyed. He's earned it because I see the love he's lavished on my life. And because of what he's done for me, because of God's unconditional love for me, I will follow him all the days of my life. And my heart is that my children could look back in their lives and see that they had two parents that lavished love on them, forgave them, taught them, were intentional with them, and that because of that, they would say, I will do as they do, like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So Christ-centered homes, starting with Christ-centered marriages, having Christ-centered children, which is the responsibility of the children, but then Christ-centered parenting, which is the responsibility of the parent, and then we go to, Paul shifts now to Christ-centered work, because in the home, we're not always home. Sometimes we have to go to work. And so let's look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it. Not only when their eye is on you, in other words, not just when your boss is watching you in order to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence of the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So matter what you do, if you're a teacher, if you're a lawyer, if you work at the factory, if you work in the community, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working not for the boss, but you work for the Lord and not for human masters. So since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, so your paycheck may be good, but inheritance from the Lord is even better. It's your reward. It is the Lord, Lord Christ you are serving. It's not the employer you're serving. You're serving the Lord. And so our work has so much power to it. And I know that, like, there's all kinds of crazy bosses out there, right? But you don't work for them. You work for the Lord. And the way you work for the Lord means honoring your supervisors, your bosses, your employers. I want to leave you with this thought, and that is your vocation is your ministry location. You can make a difference where you work, and I want you to start by realizing that your work is not just for human masters, human employers, it's unto the Lord. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray for everybody watching today. God, I pray that at New Life Church, we would be people that are building Christ-centered lives. God, help us to start with Christ-centered marriages, raising Christ-centered children, having Christ-centered parenting so that we can be Christ-centered in our work, in our vocation that is ministry location. I pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.